Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, stupid sunglasses. Oh. Look at the view already. So, hello, Run and Commentary listeners. I must tell you straight away, you are not about to hear the voice of Paul Tongson. He's still not well. In fact, he got COVID.
Ah.
Yeah, poor Paul. So that's a particular shame for anyone, but as listeners know, he's trying to put some running together, so that's a bit of a shame. But I am very lucky to have a stupendous guest. Good news for you and good news for me, because I've been wanting to run with you for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do this for months. Welcome to Running Commentary, Ben Wilbond.
Hello, hello.
Star of screen and
sometimes stage.
Sometimes stage. I just got them the wrong way around, shouldn't I? Star of screen. So, welcome. We'll talk about all that, but first of all, let's talk running. We're at the top of a hill, which is good. We're on Muswell Hill. We shouldn't go down too far because we'll have to go up again, right?
Yeah, this is the problem with the hill.
Yeah, it's a lot of potential energy up there. I went running to you. I dropped that in. Yeah, I run here. I started going uphill, like just south of Finsbury Park. I got to the Woodsman. I thought,
surely
I've been going uphill all the time. It's a very gentle hill, but it's about 3 to 4 miles.
It's horrible. I kind of, when I run anywhere else in the country and it's flat, it feels like an absolute treat.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I do like hills. We'll get on to that.
They're good for you. And I've got a theory about it as well. But first of all, this is what I stopped you saying before we started recording, because you are at least not on the bench like Paul, but you're beset with and a little bit exhausted by injury at the moment.
Yeah, so, last year I had a horrible sensation in my left knee.
Yeah.
When I was running in it. And saw loads of people about it. And of course the conclusion is, people just roll their eyes and go, "God, running." Okay, well, yeah, but what is actually wrong with it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been to see several people, and it's just, I think it's a combination of age and, yeah, they're right, just running. it's something to do with patella. Painful, it sort of feels like it's got a popping sensation.
Where is it around you?
On the kneecap.
On the top of it.
Underneath the kneecap.
Underneath it.
So if there's anyone listening.
Well, that shouldn't have asked, that made me feel a bit funny. I kind of stumbled then. If you could picture this. And said that, my knee kind of whoa, and I nearly fell over just from vicarious discomfort.
It's a horrible sensation, but it feels okay now.
Good.
And
I'd love the responsibility. You know, I'd love to be out here and to have you go,
"Oh, God,
it's the end." Apologies.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because I was, you know, wanting to get up to real distance this year.
And also, of course, we all know you've been trying really hard to improve your sprint time.
Yeah.
It's a ghost ref.
Actually, that whole episode is born out of my slight obsession with running.
Yeah, yeah, excellent.
So, it's kind of, it's frustrating, but I feel like just a bit of strength training and a little bit of spending time in the gym, which I don't really like.
But no,
sort of have to now. And have to hang out.
Yeah, it's a trouble because it is a safe space when you're injured, isn't it? You've got to. It's good to have a relationship with the treadmill. When,
yeah,
and also with other exercise if you can't run so much.
That seems to be increasingly important with age as well.
Yeah.
Just kind of doing a bit of everything.
You're not that old though, are you?
Well, no, I'm not. But honestly, lately I've really felt it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that thing, isn't it? We were saying, I interrupted myself saying this before, that you just... When you're younger, you just don't... Of course you don't, because you've got a frame of reference. You just don't realise how elastic you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, whether you're living a high life or doing incredible exercise or just not sleeping for days at a time. We're just kind of elastic.
Yeah.
You're like rubber balls. And then after a certain time, you just... you start to develop in a different way. It's not even... It's more complicated than becoming decrepit. It's just becoming a little bit more... directional in what you're going to do with yourself.
Yeah.
So when you go to do something that's a little bit much, your body says no, no.
Yeah, and it really says no. So I guess no.
Actually.
And it's there's a bit of your brain that goes, well, I think it'd be a lot better if you just had a cup of tea, pop a sugar in it, and sit down.
Yeah.
That's all it wants to do.
It's funny you should say that because it makes me think. I think there's a point sometimes. I really don't want to get simplistic, crass, or sexist about this. And I think sometimes for men, particularly with this running thing, you know, you're kind of coming along thinking, that's funny, I don't seem to... It's quite a subtle realisation we're talking about. But I think that same realisation, when certainly observed it in my wife and other friends, that when women are pregnant, that absolute... clarity of what you need, what your body wants.
Yeah.
It just switches on.
Yeah.
And then often, because of what we say about being grown-ups and stuff, that doesn't go away again.
No.
So you a pregnant woman who says, well, I know that I'm right in the middle of wherever doing this, but I'm going to sit down now and have a cup of tea.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's just 100%. And that kind of clarity of purpose is good.
I remember that and sort of admire it immensely because it's sort of like... It's... going all the way back to being to living in caves. Your body goes, I'm just going to run away from that bear.
Yeah.
Run away.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that sort of body memory of what you need.
Yeah.
Which I think we sort of lose.
Oh, it's surprisingly hard to tap into, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that when one is really keen on running... You've got to really feel for those days when you don't want to and pay attention to them.
Yeah.
Morning Magpie. And distinguish between them and just and being lazy or whatever. Because you think of it. I think a lot of this... Because evolution is it's just developmental. We just keep things that work. And sometimes they're a more logical way of doing something than others. Sometimes these things are easier. Sometimes these things are difficult. Do you know what I mean? Pain's good. We get pain. That works. Look at the view.
Yeah, it's good.
We're just going across in front of Valley Pally. I should get a picture. But, you know, we were talking about hills just now. Do you want to know my theory of hills?
Oh, yes, please, yeah.
I think that...
I need all the help I can get.
Well, this isn't necessarily going to... Well, no, maybe it will help. It could be helpful. Look, I was going to take a picture, but there's a fence in the way. That's a shame.
That's okay.
I should be careful because I lost a headphone up here doing this kind of thing. That's a great view. That's a really second-rate picture of a great view.
It's at this time of year. It's just magic.
It's so good. And it's an odd angle, isn't it? I always wonder how everything kind of relates. That's Stratford City. That's London Bridge. And there's the West End. And then the city is... It's weird. Plang!
Yeah, right in the middle. Wasn't expecting that.
Theory of hills, right? I don't think we've got a... a subconscious monitoring system for hills. So when you're running, you have to say to yourself, you're basically running along thinking, I feel weak and ill and tired.
Yeah.
And then your front brain has to say, no, you're going up a hill.
Yeah.
And it took me years to learn that. You're not rubbish at running, you're going up a hill. And then luckily the reverse is also true. Like today when I turned right at the Woodsman, I just thought, oh, now I'm fit. Yeah. Watch me fly down here.
Yeah.
Whee!
But then there's that thing, and you get to the bottom of the hill, and your body's had a little chance at recovery. And you think, oh God, I feel great, I feel strong. I feel, oh no, hang on a minute. I ran up a hill.
I've got to go back a minute up. And then the third surprise, which is new to me, doing the mountain ultra the other week, is, you know, the idea with the ultra is you walk the hills.
Right.
Certainly walk the climbs if it's like, you know, really steep.
Yeah.
And those are harder.
Yeah.
Stopping
yeah.
and really sort of stomping, but of course, because of that forward rhythm of the run, you don't you're going pretty hard. You don't.
And, it's and all did very you have? Did you find? How did you prepare for that mountain ultra?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
I didn't do as much hill work as would have liked because of where we live. And because of what happened in the year. So yeah, I did. I go to Springfield Park and Primrose Hill and go up and down them loads of times.
Yeah.
Which of course is recognised exercise hill reps, but also at another level I'm trying to fake the feeling of running up a much bigger hill.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. And of course, you don't run the hills. You really need to put yourself in there. The best way to train for an ultra is to run in exactly the same way as much as possible. And that's what I did last year when I was running over much more kind of undulating hills. I'd go and run in the Chilterns for 20 miles, you know.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it's going to be like. By the way, I'm sort of heading for the toilet here.
Oh, great. This is good. I like that you know all the toilet stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. Listeners realise
it's absolutely crucial.
Yeah, and when I've got guests, they realise talking of being primal, how good Paul is at just slipping away into a bush. It's really a conversation. Oh, although these toilets, they are often shut, and I think today might be one of those days. No!
There's a massive bed of cow parsley there.
Yeah.
Point yourself over there.
And it's nice to have a bit of jeopardy. You know, it's nice to have they're open from 10 a.m. What time is it? No!
Well.
Okay. So, yeah, you're right. We can find somewhere.
You can hop in there.
Yeah, I'm going to hop in there. That was it's lucky in a way because I just gave a really big, angry, shouty push to the woman's toilet. Skills. Okay. So I have to climb this fence
over.
Now, do I?
Are you going to manage?
Make sure I leave those behind.
I got them.
Jesus Christ. I can't do it. We'll find another spot. It's good for me to clench.
We'll find another spot.
What do you think? Should we go back and pick up the park and walk?
Yeah, I know that we can run through Crouch End and pick it up at the top of the Crouch Hill.
Ah, good.
Well, not Crouch Hill, but, you know, as you're coming across.
Lead the way.
Which I do from time to time.
That reminds me of, what was her name? Do you remember the character on Vic Reeves' Big Night Out? And she used to come on and do Novelty Island.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very kind of prim woman in a cagoule. And one of the things she did on Novelty Island was she... I'd like to dress pieces of fruit in period costume. And Rick said, oh, you do that a lot, do you? And she said, yes, from time to time. And they said, is that it then? And she said, no, then I set them on fire. Judith something? I don't know. So, back to your running, right?
Yeah.
So you were... Because you've done some events. I think you did a 10K last year.
There's 10Ks. I mean, I ran a marathon a long time ago.
Yeah. London?
And, London Marathon, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it, but it was back in the days when... You know, you don't really train properly.
Yeah.
As in, you follow a plan, but you think, it'll be okay. It's that youthful optimism.
And you know you're going to get around because other people did.
Sure. And what I managed to do in that training was, again, this is the you know, days before nutrition and all that. I managed to put on weight by eating lots of pasta all the time. And it got me round. But then, actually, I realised as I train for runs, I cross-train and think about what I'm eating a bit more. And
yep.
But obviously that's difficult when you're working and you've got a busy life and all that sort of it. It's a real commitment.
And it's just a bigger job of what work to take to carry more weight around. It's just harder, particularly, and your knee, you know, must have said at that point.
Do you know what?
Thanks very much.
I think, actually, the knee might be to do with weight fluctuating.
Right.
honestly.
Well, I hear that. You know, you must remember when I was a different shape and size.
I do.
And I've got a weak left knee. But actually, I say that, I think the main reason I've got a weak knee isn't to do with weight and it isn't to do with running. It's because I used to fall over on it all the time.
Really?
For a job, that was my thing.
Okay.
Just falling over. And I always used to break my fall with my left knee. And nearly all the time I was good at it and it didn't hurt. But then once I was doing it kind of professionally, like three times a night at the Edinburgh Festival, then every now and again I'd be a bit tired or whatever, misjudge it and give it a good old clonk. Fall over on it again, fall over on it again, you know. It doesn't thank you for it.
That'll be it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but it feels like an indicator, doesn't it? What you've done there, Mr. Jennings, you smashed your knee into the pavement repeatedly. Sometimes when you were aware you'd sustained damage, you repeated the activity. And that's bad, is it? Yes, it is. You idiot. So, yeah, now we know. So how long ago was your marathon?
Well...
And what was it actually like on the ground? What was the last 6 miles like?
Well, listen, I loved it. But I had a bad day. You know, when you talk about... I mean, you've done many marathons, so you know the difference between a good day and a bad day.
Yeah.
And I'd had bad days in training where the body just goes, look, I don't want to do this today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you just biorhythmic. Your mind can't overcome that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you say to them, look, I'm not in the Marines. I don't need to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I could just stop. And I sort of got that at around about 10 miles.
Yeah.
And then by about 17 miles, I was really hit the wall.
Yeah.
Quite badly. And I trained up to about 21 miles and then was doing the whole tapering thing after that. But yeah, I had a bad day. But I did finish it, and I really enjoyed the last 5 miles or so.
Yeah, good.
So I got through the worst of it, and then my brain clicked in and said, "Listen, you can do this. It's not a problem."
Yeah, and I think
the day is such a great day, isn't it? And you get that kind of support all the way along the route.
Yeah, it's really pulling you along.
And as soon as you pop out. The
they shout at you, quick, pop it back in. Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah, one of the many dangers of running, of course.
Particularly in front of a large crowd.
Shots that are too short. And we'll get on to that.
Yeah, yeah, fancy dress. It's not fancy enough.
One of my enduring memories of that day was going back into Canary Wharf.
Yeah.
So you do that loop around Canary Wharf. And as I came out of Canary, and I saw the front runners,
yep.
like all the kind of management consultants who were managing to have really high stressful jobs and then still run,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
2.5 hour marathon, all sprinting out of the top of Canary, all thinking, bloody hell, how are you doing that?
Yeah.
And then as I came out at the top of Canary, I saw this poor man dressed as a mobile phone, just. hobbling into Canary Wharf and his wife on the sidelines. He's like, come on, Colin, you can do this. And I still think about him when I have bad running days.
Yeah, at least I'm not Colin.
At least I'm not Colin.
So, was his name really Colin?
I'm using that for comic effects.
Yeah, because Colin. This is the captain of your ship, Colin.
So,
Colin, because like a mobile phone,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all there. You did it. I shouldn't have swore it now.
I had... ever since then, I thought, well, I do like distance. I like endurance. But I've never gone for another marathon. And I sort of think, now, I'd quite like to do that again.
Yeah, I think... I was just going to say, that's if you could get round your knee. Yeah. It feels like the journey, doesn't it? You want to...
Yeah, it is. It is definitely the journey. But the first journey I'd like to go on is do a mountain run.
Yeah, mountain run.
So mountain run. So I found this lovely challenge, which probably... Well, it's not as far as your mountain ultra, which I'm still fascinated to hear about because that's the sort of thing I'd like to get into. But it's the Penifan run, where you go up Penifan... in the Breckens,
yep.
Go to the other side, and come back. Now, it is actually on the first week, the end of the first week of Special Forces training.
Right.
And the challenge to the men and women is to wear a very heavy pack, carry a rifle, and do that in under 4 hours.
Wow.
It's like 23, 24 kilometres, I think. Wow. Sounds, you go, oh, that's a half marathon. That's,
yeah, but on a mountain.
No, sir.
I'm carrying stuff. It's
the highest peak.
Well, you know that the Penny Fan is the mountain I just did.
Right, yes, because I saw your picture.
Yeah.
So you know what it's like coming up the back of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's really something.
Yeah.
And it's, because it is a good one, because it's such a massive mountain, but it's got those kind of motorway trails, you know.
Yeah,
it's
the same.
Another also a reason it's the nice one to, for families to walk up.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
But they'll be amazed because it will take them all day, and then we get to the top, they're getting their hands on rocks and getting to the top of a mountain that's basically like one out of a picture book, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that you should do that.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna.
Don't carry the stuff. Yeah,
no. They say the option on the organised one is like, because it's run by all these big ex-military guys.
Yeah. Do you mean important or physically huge, or both?
Physically huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Men, and they all like the drill sergeant character that I do for my children.
Yes.
So they're all Scottish. Like, get your pack and boots, come on. And they're all about driving onwards, okay? Head down.
That's and fantastic. Like, that's, you know, that's Hollywood, you using that voice for your children. You know, Hollywood, that's Hollywood
really
parenting. It's your kindergarten cop, it's Mrs. Doubtfire. Well, it's very much Mrs. Doubtfire.
Thoroughly.
The weird thoroughly thing about Mrs. Doubtfire, though, is that she didn't know she was Scottish.
Accidental Scot.
They should have kept that in Pierce Brosnan. Have you not noticed you're Scottish, Mrs. Doubtfire? Oh, no! I hadn't realised! So, yeah, excellent. And that works, does it? You should do a parenting book.
Yeah, well, but maybe. Although my children would disagree. There are too many. They go, why do you do so many voices? So, well, it's because they're all inside my head and I don't know what to do with them.
Got to put them somewhere. Yeah, and the drill sergeant's good.
So, yeah, it's run by these drill sergeants. And they say, you're going to either do the full weight, and that's the challenge, or you do like a fell run. With your water and your snacks.
Yep.
I'll be doing the fell run.
Yeah. It will do. It will do.
Yeah.
Do you? So, have you been... are you a hiker? Are you a mountain man beyond running?
Yeah, definitely. And I've always loved hiking and getting into the mountains. Obviously, the last 10 years of 360-degree parenting.
Yes.
Has put paid to a lot of that, but...
How old are your kids?
Well, they're now getting to 11 and 9, so we're getting into the mountain phase.
Yeah.
What I'm going to start calling the mountain phase.
Yeah.
And they might hate it.
Oh, yeah, that's a great thing. That's a real... that's a conversation, isn't it? That kind of... Just a bit further, getting into the bottom, they want to do it, or they don't want to do it.
So many sweets.
Oh, Kendall Mint Cake is heroin in that scenario. Just a little bit more, that'll get you there. Here we go. Here's us in quite a nice place. See if I can get a better photo. Not bad. It's good here because it's dry. This is often a bit
yeah,
of
this
a
is,
mud bath, isn't it?
In the winter, this is quagmire.
Yeah, actually, my family, if I think about it right now, if you'll allow me a little therapy here, I think that at that point, we went to Lake District in 1983. So I'd have been about 11 and my brother would have been about 16.
Yeah.
And I began a lifelong love of, you know, the mountains.
Right.
My brother went up the mountain. He went up Scarfield Pike when we went up it, but another day he just said no and, like, waited in the car park.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that also, I think, began a lifelong relationship with both... I don't know, going up the mountains and my mum and dad.
Right, okay.
So, you know, it's a real testing ground, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they are at least of the... You're not working with one teenager and one eager child.
Right.
Which can really throw things off, I think, in retrospect. Don't get me wrong, I got to the point where I waited in the car all day when my mum and dad went over mountains.
Yeah.
Those are long yards.
Yeah.
To sit in a car for 8 hours rather than going up a mountain.
Those are non-Nintendo days.
That's right. No, we didn't have the internet, guys. Candy Crush, Schmandy Schmush.
My 10-year-old now looks at me bemused going, why can't I watch in the car? Why can't I watch this on the iPad? Well, it doesn't have the internet. Well, where is the internet? Okay, all right. Here we go. Here's the lesson.
Getting complicated now. It's so fundamental, isn't it? The amount of input, the Johnny Five factor that everyone has these days. We're just at the beginning of a year.
Which way do you want to go?
Ooh, where are you aiming for?
So you can go there, and then you know that bit that comes out
the bottom of the hill?
Yeah.
Then we have to go up that hill, don't we? Let's go up and left.
We have to go up.
Pop out the gate and do. You understand that I don't know where I am.
Ah, it's okay.
So, yeah, well, I want to run. I want to run in the lakes. I want to go over the mountains.
Either
an event or... I've been daydreaming a lot about just doing some nice run. And I'm looking at the coast-to-coast walk and stuff.
Yeah.
But I realised after... I'm not snooty. I've got a little bit of imposter syndrome about events.
Right.
So it's like doing an ultra marathon is something other people do.
Yeah. But you've just done one.
I've done two of them now.
Right, there you go.
And... But I realised a much more practical thing, which is that, and this connects to what we were saying about good days and bad days in the marathon, how we feel about hills. You become a much simpler machine when you run.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I really don't want to do is to have to read the map. And the best thing, up in the clouds on Penny Fan with no other sign of the event I was doing. It's a little white arrow this way. I mean, if I could get someone to do that for me, I wouldn't need the rest of the
thing. I'm up for a bit of map.
Yeah, I'm into it. When I was training, I'd have it in my hand and everything. But I'm worried that the more tired I am, the more useless I'll be. I love maps and I love running. I'm just not very good at blending the two.
This is why you're not in the Marines.
That's one of the reasons. Not great with authority.
Or shooting at people.
Yeah, no, I'm anti that. And I look terrible in camo. Mind you, talking of ex-military men, I must come at you about the captain.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you. Fantastic. You know, my kids, talking of kids... As a family, we've absolutely bonded over ghosts, but we always loved horrible histories.
Yeah.
And it's such an article of, it's just a key part of their socio-cultural makeup, you know. It was so excellent. And we still totally refer, if you want to know something about a British monarch, which being the Deerings, we surprisingly often do, you know, we refer to... various songs in our head.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking this morning about how, again, I didn't see as much of it as they did because that was when they were littler and I was off doing stuff. Look at that eggshell. That's brilliant.
Ooh.
It's a leaf. Don't look at it. I'm embarrassed. It's not a look at that lovely eggshell that isn't an eggshell. Forget it.
We're not getting old, don't we?
Shut up. Yeah, I was just remembering when you did, I just thought it was superb. You did a Take That spoof.
Yeah.
About the Battle of Britain.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was
a wonderful day.
Yeah, superb. Morning, Magpie. Look, I mean, it was wonderful. It was excellent. It was a beautifully shot, excellently written, excellent pastiche. And also, it was celebratory. You know, it was genuine. It was respectful of people who died in the Battle of Britain whilst being a great Take That spoof. That's an achievement.
The real test there was my dad came along to that day because he was in the Air Force.
Right.
And we filmed it. I'm going to have to remember and then come back to it. But Duxford, RAF Duxford.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a kind of famous...
it's RAF connected museum. To Spitfires, isn't it, Duxford?
Yeah, totally. And he actually filmed... Yeah, this is me getting all nerdy. He actually filmed the Battle of Britain, the movie there. And,
Later one, the Richard Attenborough type deal. Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, I wonder... if my dad's going to approve of this.
Yeah.
But he absolutely loved it. He said, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
It was perfect.
It was a really fun day. And one of the most fun moments of that day was sitting in the cockpit of a Spitfire. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And realising
You couldn't control it. No one told you how to land.
As we got in, the guy stood on the wing and went, yes, if you're going to press the fire button, do it now. Because literally everyone gets in and presses the little machine gun button. And then we're just realising how...
Sorry, I didn't realise that'd be loaded.
Realising how small it was.
Yeah.
And then your mind goes, Christ, it must have been absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a very special day.
Yeah, and so, I mean, and you know, it's a genuinely interesting, properly dramatic niche moment of British history.
Yeah.
So... So good to use to take that song to tell it.
Well, yeah.
Do it right.
Do it right.
No, it was excellent. Really good. And we've absolutely loved ghosts.
That's great.
It's been superb. With the children, my children being, you know, just coming out of their teens, one of the nicest things about lockdown was how much time we spent together when maybe we wouldn't have been spending that time together. And we spent the time watching ghosts mainly.
That's so good.
Yeah.
We did. We kind of realised that we were so busy making it, so busy trying to figure out how to make it in lockdown, and then writing it, making it.
Of course, because of like restrictions and all that stuff.
So it's kind of didn't really think about. Oh, actually, people came together in lockdown and watched it in lockdown. Kind of,
well, did you have something else in mind? Which way? What do you think?
Which way do you want to go?
Well, we can go up the hill to the park and walk, or we can go straight on.
Well, we can go through Crouch End,
yeah,
and then join it a bit further down.
All right.
And then run up to the...
I like it.
I mean, if you got... Ooh. Yeah, we go this way.
Okay, good.
I mean, I'm pushing... Pushing my legs is going to be absolutely fucked.
Well, that's... Sorry to laugh, but that's kind of fun. I've done a gig there, upstairs at the Victoria Stakes.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get any stakes.
No stakes.
No.
High stakes?
No, it's
it's a high stakes gig.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it was a nice venue, but we didn't fill it.
Good.
Yeah, thanks. Yep. I did a good joke about Donald Rump. I saw someone else, I did a joke and someone else stole it later on. They sirloined it from me.
Very good. This is good.
I like the way to make that joke work. I had to imply the word purloin. That's a hard working pun.
Really hard working.
From Muswell Hill, Alexandra Palace into Hornsey. Now we're on Cranley Gardens, famous for...
For various things.
Yeah, serial murder. And,
whoa.
Thank you. And us getting run over that day.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So yeah, and It's just nice to, from a completely, you know, our perspective, but I hope that it's true for you as well, to see that kind of through line from horrible histories and like the Atlanta ghost and the whole developmental thing. And
it was all by design, obviously, because we wanted to keep working together. And, back in those heady, innocent days, we're going, wouldn't it be great if we could just work together? It'd be great. And then going back to the BBC and going, look, come on, we've got some ideas. We pitched them about three separate ideas. And in that process, you realise, you know, where's the strengths and weaknesses of what you're doing, and what's the right combination, and what's the right story do you want to tell? What falls into sitcom, and it gives them a chance as well to go, actually, what do we really want here? What do we need? And just working.
It's the really strong amazing creative side of the development process.
That's exactly it. And the BBC, this is the speech I would have given had we won a BAFTA last week. But we didn't.
I saw you there. Robbed. Absolutely disastrous.
But what I wanted to say was the BBC were incredible.
You've brought your notes, that's great.
Yeah, right. I brought a bit of paper. No, they were amazing. They gave us the room to make some mistakes and to really think about it. And that's what you need to do, because otherwise, what happens all too often is people get very excited and they make a pilot, and then people go, it wasn't that great. And you go, no, because it's a pilot and it should be there to kind of test boundaries. It's like doing a preview show, really.
Yeah, there should be space within the pilot to make mistakes.
So because we were given space to do a little 15-minute taster.
Yep.
Which, you know, is still 3 days of filming, crewing. So it's getting the backing to do that.
Yep.
Which is so rare nowadays. Particularly with a, you know, quite a big group and lots of discussion, lots of serious comedians around a table scratching their heads.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got there in the end. So it was good.
It's really, and it shows. I mean, that's why it's good, right?
Yeah, you just
kind of, you know what I mean? It's got to
put the work in, get the right backing. Yeah, because it does feel, you know, when you're pitching stuff, it doesn't never changes that sort of feeling of like, I might be an absolute fraud. I could be just making this up.
Yeah.
Which is what
you're just saying. Yeah, you're basically bottling smoke until you're on the ground.
And
you're
like, just, you're just like,
this is this.
And that feeling never goes away.
Yeah.
It's like, you just think, I'm just putting this out there. It's like making music, right? You kind of put a new song out there and you go, I think it's really good, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are going to think.
It just is. Yeah, and sometimes you can hear it in the song. You think, I love this because someone had an idea and it's there and it's brilliant. Yeah. It's a song, but they didn't know what it was. It just came. The song I'm thinking of in my head right now is, me and my wife were talking about this the other day, it's The Happening by The Supremes. It's a great song.
Yeah.
I still don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't sound like a, it's not like a dance song. It's not like a love song. There's loads of melodies in it. It's like a little West End show.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the story is.
Yeah.
But it's superb. Yeah. But I just imagine the songwriter going, okay, let's see. Are we going to send this balloon up?
Yeah.
And see what it is.
And that's how it is. So when I talk to people now who get in touch and say, look, I really want to get into writing and doing comedy and putting shows together. One of the first things I always say is, like, you just got to be brave. You've got to put it out there.
Yep.
Don't have that. Everyone has it, that sort of, no, this is awful. This is awful. I'm going to go and hide.
Yep.
Don't go and hide. Just get out there. Make mistakes. That's what I love seeing about stand-up as well. It's like try-out nights and scratch nights.
Yeah.
You see people going out there and just going, this might work. Oh, it hasn't worked. Fine.
Yep.
Moving on. But you're always learning. You're always developing. And that's what
you've
got to
do. And it's nice to do that. And that's what I was going to say, is it's the best place to do that is in a room full of people.
Right.
Whether it's in your serious comedians or in front of an audience. The other thing you can do, even if you do press on, is to kind of stay home, honing and hoping and waiting for it to, for almost for it to kind of get perfect on its own.
Yeah.
But you've kind of got to bash it against something.
Yeah, all the time. It's like writing in isolation, you can, I think, only write for so long.
Yeah.
Before you go mad. Before you start to go upriver.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and then you'll end up on, if you, as a stand-up, that's when you end up on stage trying an idea well done, you know, finally got out of the garret and onto the stage. But you stewed it for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
So you share it with the audience, and as you're saying it, you're thinking,
you've gone too far.
I didn't even know what this is.
I don't know.
I don't even know what I meant.
I think, very few people can... Some people make a virtue of that and go with it.
I think Paul's got a story about getting quite... So let's invoke him in his absence.
Yeah.
I think that he told a story a few years ago about how he got very out of it one night. And he had some great... maybe even more than once. It was like a... You know, he tried trying something out for a couple of weeks. And he would come home... Had a notepad by the bed,
yeah,
and just would make notes of all the great comedy ideas he'd had, and they were all terrible, just meaningless, just an umbrella. What about the umbrella? Shut up! What is the umbrella? It didn't work. You need to do the proper work live in the daytime,
yeah,
with your real brain.
And when it comes to writing scripts, sitcom, or film ideas, it's like when you're on your own. You've got to be brave and go, I've got to show this to someone.
Yep.
I've got to talk about this, otherwise I will go crazy. And actually, by talking about it, you start to expose the cracks.
Yeah.
Start to get the questions. You've got to be
and maybe
brave
in the opposite direction as well, you solidify the good bits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you find your good people, your mentors, someone said to me once, go and find some writers who you admire. Ask them.
Yeah.
They will be flattered. And you're like, I can't possibly. And then sure enough, you do. And they go, yeah, yeah. So for a coffee, I'll tell you all about it.
Excellent.
And
also, what's interesting is what you were saying about earlier on, you know, doing running and the writing in running.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the old saw is write what you know. But it's really interesting when I compare ideas to people or to friends, really, rather than... writers per se, although of course there's a lot of crossover there. I sometimes think, oh, they'll say it's funny when you do this and it's good if you talk about that, and I think, yeah, but that's how I talk to you. That's me trying to entertain you.
Yeah.
Like I remember this when the kids were little, talking to a mum who was also in comedy, and she was saying it's really funny when we talk about the kids and parenting and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, but that's what I talk to you about.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was right in a way, because you've got to take your stuff and put it in there, you know.
Yeah.
And again, with your shows, you can see that on screen, there's an organic nature to... I mean, obviously, I know it's fictional.
Yeah.
Everyone's alive. And that's a key difference.
But it's actually down to character. When people say they like something... it's because they feel comfortable with it and they identify with it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, much loved shows, comedies, comedy dramas, where people go on, oh, I love that, that was so great. You're not necessarily talking about the craft of the writing or the gags, or you're more talking, I think, this is my opinion.
Yep.
You know, about the characters and how they resonate.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people will... say, you know, always say to me, oh, I love Ghost, and they'll talk about the captain and say he's so vulnerable and he's got this kind of hidden thing, and I feel like sometimes I'm hiding something. You go, yeah, there you go. It's just talking to you, your experience, and connecting on a human level.
It's pure drama, isn't it? All good drama,
yeah.
All the best stuff has that. It's complicity.
Yeah.
It's where that moment in stand-up, it's that big bubble above the audience where everyone meets.
Yes.
And,
and I love that moment when you see it.
Yeah.
Particularly in gigs where people have come, they don't know the act, and that moment of connection happens. And the act is really looking for it, obviously, because they want to feel comfortable so they can... get into their stride.
Yeah.
The audience is also looking for it.
Yeah.
They don't want you to fail.
No, that's right. And like you say, at that moment when you kind of reach this kind of transcendental handshake between the audience and the performer, then the content which you've been worrying about for all this time becomes less important because it's just a conduit for that relationship. Interesting. Also, though, I think, and this is something... I want to talk about, but aware that talking about it kind of spoils it, and that's what's that's to its credit, is one of the things that's lovely about Ghosts, why it's excellent, why it was absolutely robbed at the BAFTAs. But yeah, we don't have to go. I don't know why you wore the bow tie for today. I mean, it just can't be comfortable.
Just running in a full tuxedo.
Just sweating. Do you know, on the way to you this morning, I saw a guy running on the park and walk. He was in jeans, loafers, and quite a heavy jacket.
You do see some strange outfits.
I thought he was late, but he was definitely going for a run.
Yeah.
It was strange. So, sorry. Positivity. There's a lot of conversation, sometimes not very funny conversation, about, you know, appropriate humour, how people feel about various comedy these days.
Yeah.
Often the basic, when people are saying, it's okay, I'm not saying everyone should get cancelled or whatever, but we should watch out for punching down, that kind of thing. The thing about Ghosts is it's joyous, you know?
Yeah,
the goodies, the baddies are still goodies.
Yeah, and we, that is entirely conscious.
Yeah, and it's
not our gig, you know, to do anything other than we just love comedy. We love warmth in comedy, and for me, that's, you know, I grew up with watching shows that weren't bracketed as adults or children or whatever. They were just
entertainment
that was on the telly, and it was up to your parents to figure out whether you should watch it or not. But you'd end up watching it anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get on here.
Nice. You certainly, there's just a little bit here, by the way, just a few of those. It's so good to run somewhere you know and then hit the odd path or pavement they've never been on ever before. Even if it is a hill. I'll forgive the occasional hill. In fact, is this, sorry, I think we're coming in right behind the tree that's got a brick wall in it, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, never been here before. Lovely.
Well, you'll.
So, yeah, and so, but we do live in a less, well, I don't know if innocent's the word, but a more codified time. So where Morecambe and Wise and Crackerjack can just get on with it,
yeah,
you have to make a series of decisions.
Well, but that's the thing. You find your tonal line.
I've been there.
And then you just instinctively start to know where that is. And remember, there's 6, 7, 8 of us in the room, writer's room, when we come back to the scripts after they've been written. And there's a kind of, there's a sort of tonal panel that will, if you've stepped over it, often by mistake, that's okay. Or we can and address
often,
something.
Yeah, it's good because there's several of you, so it's like a kind of colourway.
Yeah, and there's so much hidden stuff in there. There's more grown up than people realise.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in 20 years' time, we'll be doing a retrospective. I'm telling you, well, you didn't know at the time. And then
so you won't be
really
able to.
Outrageous.
It'll be complicated because you've done that thing where, like, the opposite of the Apu trilogy in Harry Potter, and like Data or Star Trek.
Yeah.
All the ghosts are frozen in time. So
yes.
If you go back in 20 years, you've got to.
Well, there was.
You'll have to
that.
Use Han Solo technology.
Right. Yes, you're absolutely right. We'll be shooting on the volume, and. Yeah, it'll be Raiders tech.
I mean, you've probably already seen the new Indiana Jones film.
No, I haven't.
Because of all your connections.
I was like, oh, God.
Oh, it's a very exciting time.
Yeah. My childhood racing up to meet me.
Yeah, my dad was the same age as Harrison Ford.
Yeah, mine and too. It's so, Dad, do you think you could have a fight on top of a train? Or?
It just doesn't. The nice thing is that it didn't square then either.
No.
You know, when they were both 30,
yeah.
My dad was already a generation older than Harrison Ford.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I kind of remember thinking in my, when I hit 40, thinking,
this dog's done. Fantastic. What? Dog looking really super.
Yeah,
not just
it.
Having
I'm
to
done.
Sit down, like, I'm lying here for the next hour or
yeah,
five.
I'm done.
Yeah, so, well, it's brilliant. And that's hopefully, I think those are the two sides of it, you know, proper group development over time, and an eye on keeping it honest and good, you know, good-hearted. It made me think of the development of Toy Story. They had so much trouble because they knew that Woody would have a gun in real life.
Yeah.
Toys, particularly old toys, had guns, and they wrestled with it for ages. But in the end, you can't have a gun.
Yeah.
Because then he'd have a gun. It just changes everything.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's the model for that conversation, isn't it?
Yeah. No, there's a kind of line, you know, there's a line that we never strive to. We don't want to, you know, we're not there to shock. We're there to entertain.
Yeah.
And keep you engrossed in a story for half an hour. And you don't have to shock or be too, inverted commas, adult to do that, of course.
Yeah.
And then telling people that you're not, you know, ashamed to be doing that sort of mainstream stuff is fine. Because my next idea is awful. It's filthy. No, it's not.
It's adult. It's no, but it is. Turn off the recorders, because what happens is there's it's a sitcom version of The Aristocrats. What are you doing next?
Well,
or is it a big secret?
Well, if I tell you, I'll jinx it. No, I've got various things I'm developing and in sort of discussions, various discussions, trying to get people attached. That's a new thing. That's a Hollywood thing. Who's attached? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I just thought we'd go and cast it. Get the right people.
Yeah. Someone asked.
Who's attached?
Someone asked me yesterday, and I should say, great. Yeah, just attach him. Harrison, you okay with it?
Yeah, I think I could.
Have you heard Mark Hamill's Harrison Ford impression?
No. But we found out he's a great fan of Ghosts.
Oh
my God.
Yeah, brilliant.
We even thought about asking him to be on an episode, but then I thought, you can't ask Mark Hamill.
Yes, you can. He was just said you can just ask.
You can ask.
Is he attached?
As far as I'm concerned, he's attached.
I mean, plot spoilers and everything, but that's wonderful because essentially, that's what the last Jedi is, isn't it? An episode of Ghosts. I also think, have you considered making the flashback after the party episode into a movie?
Flashback after the... Oh my God, yes.
Oh, that's just reminding me, of course, it's gone to America. I'd forgotten to ask you about that. That's fantastic, but...
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, we just... The
I'd love to make... I mean, you know, I could write a whole... Captain's Wartime Adventures.
Yeah.
Spin-off.
Like a boy's own.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So if anyone's listening who wants to...
Who's attached?
Who's that? Harrison Ford. Mark Hamill. Are you just making Star Wars?
Yeah. Yesterday, someone texted me and said, I'm pitching a karaoke quiz show idea. Now, I should say, I can't remember another time in you know... Probably in the last decade plus, where someone's, but they said, can I mention you in my pitch? I was like, yeah. But it's, you know, it's appropriate to ask, obviously.
It's very lovely to be asked to do things, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's happened to me about three times in the last decade. Would you consider? Yes. Immediately, without, so I'm so flattered.
You had me at, would you?
I need that attention.
So there you go. You're going to make the movie with Harrison.
Yeah.
Got some other filthy projects that you can't talk about.
Really awful. Yeah.
You're going to carry a fridge up and down Penny Fan in Banagher Brick and Ilk.
Yeah.
And then run a marathon.
That's the goal.
That's good. It's a good set.
That's the goal.
And meanwhile, we've done a lovely... It's that classic, genuinely... I hope that the listeners can get something out of this, because it's so... It's really something to run... on the same map that me and Paul always run, and in his ends in particular, with you, and go a different way. It's like that's what it is to do the same stuff in a different way.
Do you find yourself, because you tour a lot, you're around the country,
do
you find with running that it's such the best way to discover new places?
Yes, absolutely. And absolutely, it's absolutely fated that I got into running when I'd been a comedian for several years, because it absolutely, it was a rebirth of my relationship with Britain.
Right.
I was going to places I've been to loads of times, and then going, oh, I could go for a run.
Yeah.
It changed everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, I do a lot of running in general, but because it's Fridays and Saturdays, I'm into parkruns. A lot of the old parkrun tourism. But the funny thing of that is, my attitude to it is so different to everyone else's, because most people, quite rightly, they live somewhere, they go to their parkrun, and they mix things up with a bit of parkrun tourism, and that's exciting. So then they seek out different ones to do. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, do what quests, you know, do all of them, or do the whole alphabet or whatever it is. But I'm almost
random,
exactly the opposite, because I love them and I really enjoy doing the different ones. But that's the jumping off point. And what I love is when I can go back to one.
Yeah.
So it's like I've got lots of home, instead of doing parkrun tourism, I'm collecting more and more home parkruns. But that's like stand-up, isn't it? You really, our audiences have such a, the geography is really important.
Yeah.
You know, such a northwest scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With people doing jokes out northwest. It's also true in Scotland. Other places don't have the comedy scene, but you still want to have this awareness of where you are. It's important, you know?
Yeah.
Connects to what you were saying earlier on about audiences feeling seen. And I haven't got any, I can't hit any tribal buttons as a comedian. I'm just not that guy.
Yeah.
I never go on and say, this is, I'm one of these people from this place, or whatever
it might be. Yeah, yeah.
Which works brilliantly. But I'm kind of a fairly rootless individual. So it's like the parkrun thing. I'll get somewhere. You know, I'll get to, I don't know, Scotland and say, I love Scotland. And they're like, yeah, 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 we can hear your accent. What does this really mean? And then I can go,
stop being tribal.
Yeah, and I can say, and find a connection, you know, I say, because I know this, you know, my little grains of detail about where we are. Or and then in turn, a bit of fun with the fact that I've never been there before. My, you know, there's a sense of being the outsider, the alien.
Yeah.
As long as you recognise that, it's great. And these days,
that's right.
It's
that's
the same
true.
Energy with being old.
Yeah.
You get up in front of an audience of 23-year-olds and go, what's your life like?
So, TikTok, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, God.
Do you do the TikToks? They love that. They love it when I say that.
Yeah.
It's going back to your kids. There's certain things you say and you see, you get that proper look, that, oh, my God. He's such a cliche. You're such a cliche.
And you go, look, I'm really trying hard. With my wardrobe, with my general kind of being around town.
Yeah. We see that you're trying hard.
We know, yeah.
And that is
they are going to
so
sit me
bad.
Down when they're 15. We do see, we see you're trying and respect to that. Honestly, respect.
Yeah, I think the respect is the thing, you know. That's what we want and that's the thing that's least likely to come. So I can't help think that you've run quite a lot further than you had in mind.
Yeah, I really have.
How far have we gone? Do you know?
I actually needed to do that because
good.
I'm knee's feeling okay.
Good.
It's heavily strapped.
Yeah, yeah.
That's feeling
okay.
Good.
Do you any? Have you got any? You know, particular stretches? Do you do any yoga?
Yeah,
what's your regimen?
Well, quite a heavy stretch regime.
Yeah.
Before and when I get back, wherever we stop, I'll try and stretch the legs as much as I can. Do some knee exercises.
Yeah.
This is all great, scintillating stuff.
No, it's key.
But I just, what I'd really love is, I'd love some more advice on that because it's clear that the knee has obviously got bad over time just from running and what have you, but also from being a bit lax with stretching.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's what they always say.
I think also that knees are interesting because it's a bit more of a sophisticated system than some other parts of the body.
Yeah.
The knee can send you neural messages that say, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean there's damage there. It means be careful.
Yeah.
You know, like when you twist the knee the wrong way,
ooh.
This is a healthy knee I'm talking about.
Yeah.
you get the feeling, that sort of queasy feeling, like, oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
So you stop immediately. But that's a warning system. Your knee hasn't sustained any damage.
Yeah.
Which is it's kind of a luxury, but it can be quite confusing. It's quite a difficult read. But also the key thing I always say to everyone is shoes.
Yeah.
Because everything, it all starts with really good, not just really supportive and really comfortable shoes, but also shoes that guide your gait.
Just going to a proper running shop and getting some, go on a treadmill, get some advice.
And then if you want them to see you, how you run on a trail, you have to get someone from the shop to just chase you through the park.
Yeah, that would be a good job.
Just go in the shop and then say, go! And then it can take a long time because it takes a while to get them to follow you.
We're going for it.
Yeah, let's take that risk. So we've just returned to the aforementioned woodsman. So now as we drop down the hill, we've gone...
How long have you done today?
I've run about 80 miles today.
But you see, you're used to that. That's the thing. Well, and we weren't exactly going at Mo Farah pace.
We're using each other to push it a bit. You know, you want to go further than you might run on your own. And I've got a cold can of Coke in the fridge, which I'm not really allowed. I wouldn't really let myself drink unless I do double figures of miles.
Wow.
And I'm not really in the mood to go out and run 10 miles.
Yeah, so
I will have done without noticing today.
So here's my... So I've got so many questions about the Ultra.
Okay.
So what did you pack for your snacks?
Well, this is a really good one to ask because I think it's the one thing I've been talking about it for, a couple of weeks now. And can we go the toilet way?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. The limpid green
grove
of Highgate. It's just so it's the light.
Delicious.
Oh, I might lie down on the ground like that dog. So I think that the actual deep dive into what I had to take with me is the one area I haven't covered.
Ah.
And that's good because I'm obviously I could talk about my blooming Ultra for months. In fact, I'll be talking about it on and off for the rest of my life. It was strange though because
did you have a low moment?
No, not really. It was very hard, but quite challenging in ways that I didn't expect. Lots of solitude and walking up the hills being the hard bit rather than the carry-on running being
and
hard
you
bit.
You had no headphones.
And my headphones went down very early on. It's changed everything. You ought to know by Alanis Morissette was probably in my head.
That's
ultimately down to two lines of it.
Jesus God.
For about 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's tough.
You need to write her a letter.
I realised just the other day I didn't have headphones. I forgot to take them away at the weekend. And I went for it. Luckily, it was a very short run. Because I got the theme from Ghostbusters in my head.
Oh my
and when
God.
I say the theme, just seven notes. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, God.
Elmer Bernstein, great tune, but it's not enough for half an hour. But yeah, I know you want to hear about my pack because you want the military background thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there was a mandatory kit ticking list.
Okay.
Which is great for my psychology. This is where I could have been in the Marines. In the, you know, give me a list of things I need.
Yeah.
So I can put them all in a neat line.
Yeah, love a little gear moment. Did you have a hotel room gear moment?
I had,
all in bed.
It was actually just before. God. I was having quite a crazy time in my life.
Yeah.
So, and then it got came time to go, and I was just running around the house going, oh, I need this, need that, need this, need that. And it's a funny thing in the end because I was carrying absolutely loads of stuff. In a good way, it wasn't bothering me, you know. And I used hardly any of it. And I didn't resent that. Because it was necessary, but lots of it for emergencies. But there's also, it sort of shows up the kind of purity of the experience. Even though I was running all day long, I never stopped enough to get... There's one specific thing in my bag I could have done with, gloves.
Right.
And I just thought, I'm not going to stop, take my backpack off and get my gloves out.
Over 50k.
I can't be bothered. Which is weird, isn't it? You think you'd find the time for that. And... food-wise, I'm not very good. For a long time now, people have been saying the great thing with an Ultra is you can have a burger, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
But you're vegan.
I'm vegan. And also, when I'm running, I'm not very digesty.
Yeah.
So I did
you got gels and things like that? Do you
don't really get on with gels anymore. I used to use them for marathons and stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to use Starburst as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really use those anymore. After Brighton Marathon last year when I had one and eating it was one of the hardest things I'd ever done, I kind of knew that was when I was getting tired. It's like, but it tastes so strong.
It's too much.
I can't.
When a Starburst is too much.
Yeah.
That's the Starburst test.
It's a bad sign.
That's the wall test.
Yeah. So that was a learning experience for me. But I said last week, but I had these things, salt sticks, which are salt electrolyte tablets.
Oh, nice.
And they were really nice. And I'd never had them before, so that was a risk. And they really hit the spot and had them all day. I had a little bar of malt loaf at one point, which is something I found that I got on with in the Race to the Stones. And then at one point when I'd been walking up mountains fairly solidly for about 3 hours and I was on a fairly precipitous edge picking my way, basically hadn't really done any running for ages, I thought, oh, my digestive system feels a bit more like a human one at the moment. So I put down a Trek Millionaire shortbread protein bar, like a magic Twix.
Right.
Is that the best thing I've ever eaten in all my born days? But I never used the map, which is flapping off me just here.
Yeah.
Of course, I never blew the whistle. Didn't use a foil blanket.
Right, I was going to
say. My other trousers.
Did you have a tiny one-man tent in case things got really bad?
No. A bivy bag.
Yeah, you see, that's the one thing they always say.
Yeah.
Take up a mountain.
Yeah. Well, I remember at one point when I was doing a quite tough, technically tough descent, like a steep, rocky, slippery, wet bit.
Yeah.
And I was tired and my hands are cold. And I was totally soaked. And I just thought, I know why I've got a whistle. Because if I fall over here in such a way that I can't go on, I'm going to be so cold, so fast.
Yeah.
I'm going to need rescuing. And there was someone up there like that, someone who I think had fallen and hurt themselves. And they were all wrapped up and someone else was waiting with them. And the mountain rescue were coming. I wanted to help, but they didn't need my help. And I was relieved as well because I wasn't best placed to help. I see you've got you did a little sip there.
Yeah, I like to carry water, and I always like to put something on my back. I kind of don't know why that is. Maybe because I was focused so hard last year on doing this trail.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I need to carry water. So you would have carried water, right? So
yeah.
So did you have like a...
I had a water bottle in my hand, and it was it's a cupless event, so they need you to have they've got the drinks for you.
There must have been loads of people with packs.
I was wearing this pack, which has got water bottles that fit in it.
Yeah.
It's what I call, it's a hydration vest, but I got myself a bit of a reputation at the National Running Show by referring to my water bra. I said, it's not called that. I said, it isn't it?
Oh, please. That has to now develop into
common
Mexican.
I've got a water bra, and I've used it often. But I tell you, now I've ultraed a little, I'm much happier. And some people are absolutely amazed by this.
Yeah.
With a bottle in my hand.
Amazing.
I can do that. I can do that all the way around.
That's
and
incredible.
In fact, I did. I got back.
I think your constitution is, well, it's clearly... it's clearly set up for endurance because I don't know.
I think your hand would blister up, or you'd get crampy.
Well, and I need a lot of water when I run.
Yeah,
I need to just keep going with water, otherwise I get a slight headache, which I am developing now. But we are about to stop, so
I promise. All we have to do, if we stop now, we'll just get cold really fast.
Yeah.
We're in Highgate Woods blowing our whistles. Send help! Please. We nearly made it.
Please. The light comic actor was rescued yesterday.
Just loosen his bow tie.
Yeah.
You start to hallucinate during your speech. Thank you so much for this honour. All the other nominees were good too, of course. We're in the woods.
Cold woods for 5 minutes.
So, but I don't, and I feel bad really because I love my trusty water bra.
Yeah.
I don't get on with it. That's my last resort water. That's the emergency water.
Wow, that's incredible.
And, if things go well, which
because
so far.
The ultra was 50K, right?
50K. Right. 50 mountain K. So it took me like 10 hours.
And you went,
I was 50K plus, actually. It was more like 53.
And you only had
I refilled it.
Okay.
I refilled it at the water at the stations. Yeah, yeah. And also I drank Coca-Cola at stations.
Lovely.
But you're right. I don't feel that dehydration. I drink water quite. What's the word? I kind of make the decision to drink water.
Ah, okay.
In fact, very long.
Thanks.
Thank you. People who've listened to this show since the beginning of time
will
remember me and Paul going on a training run. We did a 3-episode 20-mile training run, and we lost some of the last episode. I still don't know whether that was a good or a bad thing, because we both started to get quite grumpy and bicker quite a lot. A great lesson in fueling.
Yeah.
We were in Hyde Park, and I was like, he said, I need a drink. I said, I think there's a shop down here. I'm all right at the moment. It's like, yeah, but you're going to need to hydrate, aren't you? I mean, you've got, you need to hydrate. Just me saying, I don't feel thirsty. It's like, ignore yourself. You need water.
Yeah.
And he was right. And I was just telling my daughter yesterday, I told you about wanting to talk about the ultra forever.
Yeah.
Because I told her this yesterday. And if you can imagine her just doing the bare minimum of polite, you know, just accepting the sound until she could walk away and think about what she really wanted to think about.
But so I think you need to do like a separate podcast where you're interviewed about the ultra. Is I honestly think there will be a big audience for that, because it's such a growing thing. People like to really challenge themselves.
Yeah, and I'm thinking also, it's a real shame Paul's ill, because he's lined up for the Race of the Stones in the summer.
Yeah.
And I really want him to have a good one, because I think we should podcast an ultra.
Oh yeah.
Like record all the way around.
Oh my God.
Because that's the next step. We've done a marathon, you know.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
3 hours, 10 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rob, you're falling off the cliff. Yes, can we stop recording for a second? My leg's broken in 4 places.
10 hours, man.
To be fair, most of the other runners did do it faster than that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But then that's also my imposter syndrome talking, because I was out there thinking, who am I? What am I doing here? But I was doing it.
Yeah.
And in lots of ways, as you say, lots of ways, it suited me really well. I'm just very strict with myself when it comes to carrying on running.
Yeah. It's it is a mind game.
Yeah,
it really is a mind game. And
keep playing those mind games.
Gotta keep moving forward.
Yeah. Just keep moving forward. One step forward. I was saying, this is what I was telling my daughter.
Our destination.
There we are. Wonderful. Back in the hill. How far did we go?
So, I nearly ran a 10K.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Woo.
Yeah, nearly. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best part of 6 miles.
That's really great.
Well, well done.
I mean.
And how do you feel? How's your leg?
Tops of my legs are complaining, but that's only because I haven't done outside run for a while.
Yep.
Knees.
Tops, so like on the front there. Yeah. I get it in the hip, like the sort of, I imagine a Robocop joint there that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it is the Robocop joint.
But here's us in front of that big church.
Oh, yeah. Like a beetroot.
No, you don't. Come on now. There we are. You're next to a man who is part tomato, so you'll come off okay, I'm sure. Well, listen, that means that we need to wrap up, but I've got two more things to tell you. I'm going to tell you really quick.
Yeah.
One, so I'd fallen over in the mud, and both my hands are muddy, and my water bottle was muddy. But it had a button on it, and I hit the button, and it opened up, and there was just a spout, and it was just completely mud-free, and I had a drink. And that was fantastic. And it was right on the top, right?
Yeah,
on the precipice.
Yeah, that's going to...
And when I opened it, the top of the bottle went, ooh, in the wind. That was a great moment in my life.
There you go.
And I also wanted to say, for our listeners, that your taste in running music is spectacular.
Oh, brilliant.
Really, you know.
I just...
Normally, I like to give that energy, but receiving your recommendations is for the Running Church Radio Hour has been... Well, frankly, religious.
Just wait for the cops to go by.
Heads down. Turn your head. Turn your head away.
They're driving a really super Kia there, and I think it's an electric. So that's wonderful.
Great.
No,
I think they're advertising it. They don't think they're going anywhere. They're saying, check our car out.
I rely on music a lot for writing and for obviously for running. And when I'm running, I think about the ideas that I have for shows, and you know, and it's that's where it comes from. And I just having a like a an app where you can go, I won't name the app. Where you can just sort of put your
other
selection
unnamed
in.
Apps are available.
They are available. And it will just throw up all these suggestions. You can spend too long in your life just going through it. But it's for me, it's just necessary. Because otherwise,
it's wonderful.
I don't know what I do. I don't know what I do.
And I don't know about you, we're talking about getting older, but my relationship with music, with running, and with these so-called apps has been absolutely galvanized. Yeah. I used to, before I ran, when I was a grown-up, I used to just listen to the same six records.
Yeah.
I'm only slightly exaggerating here.
Yeah.
And I consider myself as a music man then. But now we're positively steeped.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Also, this run was good, talking of steeped, because, you know, you're used to it because you're a local, but that's a hilly run. We were up and down all the way there.
It was a hilly run.
It's dynamic. It had a dynamic profile.
Yeah, it was kinetic.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, we were definitely moving. I don't know if at least I hope we were moving.
No, it was great. Well, honestly, I did not expect myself to be able to do that, and I've done it. And now I feel like I can do anything.
Well, can we run again sometime?
Yeah, definitely.
We don't have to take the tribbles. But we
no,
can,
we can do know. It. We can just run.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll come back next week and you can interview me. We'll do a 9-hour run and you can interview me about my ultra
about
in real time.
Yeah.
With Paul Tompkinson and Rob Deering.